اوکے، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، صلی اللہ علی سیدنا محمد و آل طاہرین. We were talking about arrogance last week and the repercussions of such a vile quality in human hearts. And if you remember, we said that an arrogant person cannot enter paradise because they would ruin the paradise. They would make the paradise to be something like this world again. And if you remember, we talked about paradise having two different types of pleasure, physical pleasure and spiritual pleasure, if we can call that pleasure. Of course, it's very difficult to use the physical terminology for the spiritual life. There is a physical life, a spiritual life. Spiritual life is the type of manifestations that they receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Okay, so every day they would visit Allah in a new manifestation of Him, and that would be really bewildering for people of Jannah. This is the most amazing, the most breathtaking part of living in Jannah, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manifestation every day, and Allah actually greeting them with a salam, salamun qawlan min rabbir rahim. And they always receive, when they visit that manifestation of Allah, it's as they have visited God. And they receive a salam from Allah, a greeting, and that is a greeting from a very, very merciful Lord, Mir Rabbin Rahim. Okay, this is the spiritual aspect. Now, when would these manifestations end? Anyone knows? Of course, when we are talking about arrogance, we shouldn't talk about Jannah. But it is very much interrelated, because there is, in a hadith we have that no one would enter paradise if there is just a speck of arrogance in their hearts. Just a little trace of arrogance in their hearts. They would never ever enter Jannah. And of course, the verse of the Quran mentions, أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Isn't hell a right place for mutakabbirin, for the arrogant? It is a right place. As you saw in these verses about Shaitan, Jahannam was actually created just to place Shaitan in itself. Just to make a place for Shaitan. Prepare a place for Shaitan. And it is so. So if there is any takabbur in one's heart, they never enter Jannah. And now, ironically, there is a hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen which says, takabbur is the last thing which leaves the heart of the mu'min. This is very interesting, because, I mean, we might leave many things. We might leave our enmities. We might empty our heart from all vile qualities that we have. But takabbur is something which is very, very difficult to remove from the heart. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says the last thing that leaves the heart of the mu'min is takabbur. And of course, in another hadith, it said if there is a speck of takabbur in one's heart, they would never enter Jannah. And who can say there is no takabbur in their hearts? I don't think any one of us can say that. Of course, all of us have takabbur in our hearts. The way we pray towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that how there is a takabbur in our hearts. And the way we even talk about our worships, the way we talk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows that there is a takabbur in our heart. We think that we are someone, he is someone, he owes luck to us, because of course we need many things that he can provide for us and he doesn't. So we are not in very good terms all the time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usually we are in bad terms with God, aren't we? We are somehow complaining from Him because He doesn't really meet our expectations. Now, this is takabbur, of course. A mu'min who has no takabbur in their heart, they never would think like this. So, we mentioned something last week that solves this problem. Anyone remembers? What did we say? We mentioned that many people would enter Jannah. Of course, the number of people who go to paradise is much more than the number of the people who go to hell. Never mind, people are of different creeds, different religions, different sects. Muslims are Shi'is, Sunnis, and they are Mu'tazilis, Ash'aris, different types of ideas, and then we have Christians, Jews, and then we have Hindus, Buddhists, and all these types of people. But despite all these, I will tell you, the number of the people who go to paradise is more than the number of people who go to hell, inshallah. And this hadith which says about, this hadith is reported from the Prophet that my ummah will be divided into 73 sects, from which only one sect goes to paradise, and the other 72 sects would go to hell. Do you believe this hadith? What, do you believe that this hadith is from Prophet? I don't say, do you believe in this hadith? Do you believe that this hadith is from Prophet? If it is from the Prophet, it is very difficult to analyze it, because if out of 72 part of Muslims, only one part is going to go to Jannah, and out of all religions, only Muslims are going to go to Jannah, then the number of the people who go to Jannah is very, very limited. Very small, very small number. And this actually defies the philosophy behind creation, which is the taking people to paradise, actually, rather than taking them to hell. You remember this hadith from Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salam. Someone, at his time, there was a mystic called Al-Hasan al-Basri. You might probably have heard about him. He's a very, very famous mystic. He's probably the founder of Islamic mysticism, Hasan al-Basri. Of course, Islamic mysticism has different branches and different tastes, so to speak, for Sufis. Some of them stress very much on love. Some of them stress very much on poverty. Some of them stress on asceticism. Well, Islamic mysticism started with asceticism and then it developed into other types of asceticism. He was one of those ascetics, ascetic mystics. And he was preaching and he said, one day he said that, he said something about hell and paradise. And one of those students who were listening to him went to Imam Zain al-Abidin in a very frightened mood and said, and Imam, when he saw his situation, said, what has happened to you? Why you are so frightened? He said, today Hasan al-Basri said something which frightened me very much. And Imam said, what did he say? He said, Hasan al-Basri said, I'm not surprised from someone who goes to hell, how they go to hell. Well, because, I mean, the way we act, the way we live, the way we worship is a good witness that there isn't any surprise for us to go to hell. I'm surprised from the one who goes to paradise, how they qualify to go to paradise. I mean, if this is the qualification, that a speck of kibr in your heart would not allow you to go to paradise, then who would qualify for that? If we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He deserves, and know Him as He deserves. Well, even the Prophet is not qualified because he said, Elahi ma arafnak haqqa ma'rifatik. We have not known you the way you deserve to be known. We have not worshipped you the way you deserve to be worshipped. Okay? So he was very frightened. Imam Zain al-Abidin told him, well, this is his view. But do you want to listen to my view? He said, yes, very much, of course. Imam said, well, It is surprising. I'm not surprised of a person who goes to paradise, how they go to paradise. This is the way the nature is created. Nature of human beings, they are created for the paradise. But I'm surprised from someone who goes to hell, how they go to hell. Well, you can think about it. I mean, amidst all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He has described for us, you have heard the hadith that Allah's mercy has 100 sections, 100 parts. One part He has showed to us in this world. And with that one part, people love each other, mothers love their sons. This comes from His mercy always. And 99 parts He has kept to show on the Day of Judgment. Okay? So, if this is the case, most of the people would go to paradise. But if they have kept in their hearts, how they go to paradise? Yes.
Allah will come in as certain kind of culture. Allah will remove their sins.
Yeah.
Cover them or remove them.
It would remove, Allah would remove the kabr from the hearts for those who qualify for that. When the kabr, when they come to the threshold of paradise, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غَلٍّ, we take away all the ghal, all the enmities, and enmities of course are created because of kabr. We remove it from their hearts, and then they will go to paradise.
You say that more people will go to Jannah. Where are you quoting that from? Is it someone's hadith?
This is from this hadith, actually.
Because that hadith only says he's surprised. It doesn't quantify anything.
Yeah, and we have from many other ahadith we can gather this. And also, from the Quran, we can gather from many different verses, their implications is that people would qualify for hell if they have very outstanding and conspicuous qualities of kufr and kabr in their hearts. Otherwise, they will be forgiven, they will go to hell, they will go to paradise rather than going to hell. Yes.
How does that correlate with that ayat in Surah Yasin we're talking about the other day? لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ وَلَا أَكْثَرِهِمْ قَوْلُ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. The majority of them promise will be true and they won't believe.
Yeah, this is about the Quraysh, of course.
لَقَدْ
حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ.
It's not about everybody.
Yeah. It's about the Quraysh, because Prophet was really surprised why the Quraysh were having such an enmity and stubborn type of attitude towards him. So Allah is telling him, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ. Of course, أَكْثَرِهِمْ is referring to some people whom the Prophet knew, and that was the Quraysh, who were not believing in whatever sign Prophet showed to them. Of course, we have وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ. We have created for hell a great number of jinn and ins. Okay, but كثير doesn't mean أكثر. It doesn't mean majority. It means a great number of people from jinn and from ins would go to hell. Now, I posed one question last week. Yes.
This ayat, we just discussed it. Allah will remove the kibr from the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any stages of kibr that once you reach that stage, then it cannot be removed? Or when there must be some sort of measurement, otherwise...
Yes, if it becomes a part of your nature, in a sense that if that is going to be removed, your nature would be torn apart. It's not possible to somehow clear your nature from the cap. Then that is the instance where people have to go to hell, so that they become somehow prepared for this separation. And that's why we hear that people come out of the hell at some point. And for some, this never happens. And we have in some hadith that very, very few people, very few creatures from jinn and ins would remain in hell. Most of them would come out, because that is somehow separable. But for some of them it's not separable. Like for shaitan, it's never separable. For some others, It is never separable. Because it has become a part of the nature in a way that, in fact, Kibr is their original nature now, their, rather than their secondary nature. Yeah, from, of course, Mugharrabun. Mugharrabun are different, but Ashabul Yameen, it says, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْآخِرِينَ. So a great number from the people who have passed away, and a great number from the posterity are from Ashabul Yameen. And Ashabul Yameen, of course, are in paradise, in welfare and other things. But Mugharrabun, of course, in the past there were more. And now we have less number of Mugharrabun among us than we had before.
Why is that when, I don't understand why it's decreasing when the number of good people are supposed to be increasing, so eventually it reaches an amount where Imam al-Zamana can come.
You mean 313?
Yeah, we don't have that. And in the future, maybe we will have. But in the past, we've not had that.
No, in the past, I mean, in the past, it means before our prophets. You see, you take the 0 point, the time of the prophet, okay? Because that is when the people are addressed. So before the prophet, there were lots of Mugharrabun. Of course, especially as we went further back and back into the history, we had lots of these Mugharrabun. Now we have lived at one time, for example, among Banu Israel, there were several hundred prophets. Okay, contemporary prophets. Living with each other. But you see, gradually the number of the prophets were diminished and the number of Mugharrabun diminished. And this shows humanity is regressing rather than progressing. Physically, yes, we are progressing. But spiritually, we are regressing. And this is a bad sign for humanity, actually.
Is it quantity-wise or proportion-wise? The Mugharrabun are getting less and less.
No. The verse doesn't talk proportion-wise. It talks quantity-wise. Because it says, ثُلَّةٌ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ. A great number, not a great percent. Okay. وَقَلِيلٌ. And a little number from the posterities. What do you mean? What's the implication of this?
The implication is like Allah says that hell will be men and fuel. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And like hell will ask, you know, are you full? Mm-hmm. He will ask, hell will be, is there more?
It means?
Is there more
place? Well, if it means there's more place, then it means the number of the people who go to hell would really not fill it, isn't it? It means the number who should go to hell are less than the capacity of the hell. But apparently this is not the meaning of the verse, because Allah says, I will fill the hell. لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ I will fill it مِنَ الْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّاسِ عَجْمَةُ. So it means there is a capacity for the hell, and Allah has created it just according to that number of people who go to hell. Now Allah Tabatabai about this verse, because if we interpret it as when it says is there any more, it means that there is more place here. It would contradict the other verse, which Allah says, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ I will fill the hell with human. Now, Allama Tawatabari actually interpreted the verse as, هَلْ مِنْ مَزْدْ Is there any more place? يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لَجَهَنَّمَ هَلَمْ طَلَعْتْ We say, are you filled now? Is the word fulfilled? The word which I mentioned that I will fill you with human and jinn. And then I ask the hell, are you filled now? He says, is there any more place? You see, there's no more place, I'm full. So this is how we have to interpret the verse, actually. Now, I pose the question, which is somehow related to this topic of Kibr, and that is, what is the physical pleasure for, in general? There should be a reason. Well, you might ask, what is the spiritual pleasure for? Okay. Alright, this is how we progress. This is how we go up. Spiritual pleasure, of course, when Allah... Suppose Allah makes a manifestation of Himself now to our hearts. Well, we either explode or we move up, visit it. And if He doesn't make any manifestation to our hearts, it is not because He is miserly about that. It's because our hearts do not have the capacity for it. We are not prepared for it. If you prepare your heart for it, it would come. I promise you. You prepare your heart for it. First of all, you should be very, very, very humble. The cap should go out. Okay. If you are in your heart, Allah doesn't come in. If you yourself are in your heart, Allah doesn't come in. Okay. Because you are worshipping yourself, not Him. And if He makes, He gives you one of those spiritual bonuses, then you are going to use it for your own kept. He's not going to do that. He's more merciful. Of course, He gives you the worldly things so that you boast with it, you'll be proud of it and all this. But this is very, very little thing. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ This is only a small thing which just deceives. But spiritual manifestations is a big thing. It's a big deal. It's not a joke. And if you have them, you can somehow dictate things to other people. For example, if the power of Jesus Christ was given to one of us, what would have we done with it? If the power of Suleiman was given to one of us, we would have destroyed the whole world immediately. Isn't it? I mean, because of that kept, which is in our hearts. So, that's something, that's very dangerous. Now, the other thing is that our heart does not have the capacity at all. If Allah makes a manifestation now to our heart, it would explode away. So we have to prepare to become humble. And the way to become humble is to worship Him truly, honestly, during the night, during the day, when we sleep, when we are awake. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ Those who remember God when they are sleeping, when they are laying back, when they are sitting, when they are in all occasions. And then those manifestations would come. يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ This is addressed to the Prophet, isn't it? قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Wake up in the night. But a few hours, okay. نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا You have to recite the Quran with deliberation during the night. This is addressed to the Prophet to whom the Quran was revealed. Okay? Why? إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا We are going to reveal to you a heavy concept. A proper reception is only possible when you are prepared for it. Okay, in Jannah, our hearts are prepared, and we receive those manifestations with progress. That is about the spiritual life in Jannah. What about the physical pleasures? Why do we need them? I mean, are there pleasures at all? I mean, if you have the manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see someone who is close to God, sees the whole world ridiculous, isn't it? And it's pleasure. And everything which people are vying for and are quarreling about, they think is silly. So why are they thinking about those pleasures in paradise? Do they have time at all for those pleasures in paradise? If they are engaged and occupied with the type of relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which He manifests Himself to them every day, with a new manifestation, and then that moves them higher and higher, and that's infinity, of course, moving towards infinity. You shouldn't think that when we go to paradise, that's the end, stand still. No, that's the beginning of our takeoff towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are now learning. We are just going to school. By coming to this world, we have come to a school to learn. Then, when we graduate in Jannah, we start work. Okay? We start work. And that work, of course, is a type of engagement with those manifestations which moves us higher and higher and higher, and who knows where we get. Okay? Now, what about those physical pleasures? What are we going to do with them? I told you, don't tell me that you don't want it, because then I would say that Allah wouldn't give them to you. Okay? Well, of course, he's not going to listen to my prayer in this regard. But anyhow, what are you going to do with them? You don't want them. If you can't use it, well, you use it. You use your body, because the body is actually the place where the soul can, through which the soul can offer it. I mean, our soul cannot do anything unless they are in the body. Okay, and the body is a type of operating system for the soul. I mean, if there is no brain, our soul cannot think. If there's no hand, our soul cannot take anything. Okay. Now, when I pick this up, it is the me who want to pick it up. Who's me? It's my soul, isn't it? I want, there's a will for it. But I cannot do it. Because, well, if I have no hand. And if I have no body, I cannot do anything. Okay? Now, if my grandfather, who has passed away, is now here at present, if he uses the whole efforts in the world, he cannot pick this up. It's not possible for him, because he has no body. Okay. We have body, alhamdulillah, and we can do many things. When we go to Barzakh, again, as I said, we freeze. We cannot do anything. Unless we come back to our bodies. So, the body is there in Jannah, so that our soul could operate through the body. Now, the point is, even those manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not be received if there's no body through which the soul can have a type of abiding in it. If there's no heart to understand it, if there's no brain to analyze it. So in Jannah we have brain, we have heart, we have all these things. So that we can analyze, we can understand, we can grasp things from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
Is it not that even though we have these spiritual manifestations, we need to have, you know, our physical enjoyment needs to be part and parcel of that spiritual enjoyment to really, you know, really move towards Allah in a total way rather than just in one, that being just that fact.
But Allah is totally away from the physical world, isn't he? I mean, the more you move towards Allah, the more you have to go away from your physical aspects. Yes.
If Allah talks about these physical pleasures, it doesn't necessarily mean it means immerse yourself in them. It means that whatever you need here, for example, we have to strive for them. Anything we want, even water, it doesn't come to us. We have to go and get it. We have to work for it. We have to dig for it. But over there, it'll all come to you. Is that what it means? So, everything you need for your physical...
But why should be so delicious? I mean, you can meet your needs with some type of food, okay? Why should be so good? You can cover yourself in Jannah with some type of clothes. Why should be brocades and very grandiose clothes and all these things? I mean, the carpets which are underneath... متكئين على فرش بطائنها من استبرق. All these things, why?
Is that carpet actually carpet the way we see it, or is it Allah is explaining something else using a carpet?
Yeah. You see, the question I posed drives you towards thinking that all these things are spiritual, isn't it? Why should we have physical pleasures? And this is what many mystics would say. And this is what Christians say nowadays, of course, because they say if you want to go towards God, you have to leave all these pleasures because the pleasures are vile, okay? And therefore, well, you don't need that. And now if you say these are not really carpets, this is a symbolic language to describe something spiritual, then it means our bodies there would live in a very frugal and meager type of life, a life which is like a life of mystics and ascetics in this world, isn't it? Should we be ascetical in Jannah at all? Why should we be ascetical here?
I think, but you know, you're talking about worldly languages, you describe concepts that are not, so the concept of aesthetical will not apply there. I mean, what do you mean by that when you say, why should we be aesthetical?
I mean,
it doesn't make sense.
I mean, when we
divert
our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
yeah.
Do we have any time to think about our bodies? Or to attend to our body's needs and pleasures? Or why at all we should have them? What is the reason behind it? Any idea?
What, having a body in Jannah, you mean?
In Jannah. I mean, if we are told in this world that you have to really, really keep away from these things, because they would make you move away and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why in Jannah they don't?
Because the laws are different. You told us that the laws are totally different.
Yeah, what is the law? What is the law which is different?
We don't know that.
Okay. So, you say there is a physical world, it's full of pleasure, but we don't know why. Yes.
Is it because even in this world, there are certain faculties that we have in terms of the heart and, you know, the will to do things, which if it's tempered properly, they can be, you can achieve so much more. So in the same way in the hereafter, that we can aspire to so much more in this physical dimension as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are near that. We are near the target, actually. Yes.
Maybe what you said, here the physical pleasures take us away from Allah, there they'll take us towards Allah.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean, physical, what is pleasure? What is pleasure? I mean, when you love someone, what is it? It is a manifestation of your inner qualities coming out, qualities that Allah, of course, if it's not vile, if it's not vicious, that Allah has, you develop through showing these qualities, isn't it? Yeah.
I thought we discussed last week that the whole idea of pleasure in this world is driven by the force of takabbur.
Mm-hmm.
Arrogance is the primary thing that drives people towards pleasure in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is no takabbur or kibr in Jannah, then probably the driving force would be different, and therefore instead of taking you away from Allah, it would probably take you towards Allah.
Yes. Yes, but what is the mechanism? What does it mean? And when you say we get closer to Allah, what do you mean? I mean, Allah is here. He's closer to us than anything else.
We become more thankful. We understand Him better.
Yeah, how?
His ma'rifah.
How?
Especially, I mean, an idea is that much more greater when it's actually reached into and actualized. And so saying,
but it's actualized, yes. Now, let me put it in this way. Does Allah have pleasure at all? Is He pleased with Himself? Or He's angry with Himself? Or He thinks that He needs something? Now, is Allah sad or happy? Of course, in human language, he's neither. He never gets sad or happy. But he is full of that ghina. That is something which is opposite to poverty, isn't it? He has anything he wants. Now, if you have anything you want, including your physical needs in general, in the way you want it, and the way you like it, you feel more like Him, isn't it? But if you have it in this world, you become mutakabbir. If in Jannah you don't, in Jannah you are totally dedicated to Him. But you have The more you have pleasure, the more you fulfill your needs, the more you feel you are closer to Him. Yes.
Why shouldn't you reach that level of perfection here, where you can, you know, you can have this physical pleasure and you don't have that development? What is it that?
You cannot, because, as I said, this is a school. It is not a workplace. This world. Here we are learning. We cannot. I mean, if we while we are learning, if we try to do something, we might hurt ourselves. Okay. Secondly, you might say, why didn't we have it when we were in the wombs of our mothers? That was because that was a very, very rudimentary life for us. This is again a rudimentary life, a bit more developed. When we go to the day of, when we come out on the day of resurrection from our graves, we will be much more developed. And when we get into Jannah, we are fully equipped, prepared, and ready to start our real lives with pleasure, with moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all these wouldn't go with takabbur, would it? It's not possible. The slightest taint of takabbur you have on your heart, you cannot, you are not qualified for that sort of life. That is a life which completely needs you to be dedicated, devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you can move up. Yeah.
So what you're saying is it is impossible for humanity to be free of takabbur in this world.
Not to be free of takabbur, no. But to have that sort of life, that sort, to see that sort of manifestations of God that they see in paradise, they cannot see it here. This is, yes, I'll come to you. This is when Musa asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see him. Of course, he knew that Allah doesn't have a physical aspect. He cannot be visualized as objects are visualized. He wanted that type of vision which the mu'mins have in Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he knew what type of vision they are going to have. And Allah told him, it is not possible. Look to the mountain. I would manifest in the way you want to the mountain. Manifest myself. And if it can hold itself, you can hold yourself for that manifestation. But it was not possible, of course. Yes?
It must be possible to reach Nabi Sulaiman. He had the pleasures of this world. He had carpets and brocades and kun fayakun and everything. And he didn't have the takabbur.
He didn't. He didn't actually seek pleasures from those things. And he did not actually use them for his own pleasure. And we have in hadith that he was all the time fasting. One day he was fasting, one day he was eating. And also he was making baskets, selling it in the markets, having them sold for him in the market, and having his bread from that work of his own hand, rather than using all those things. So although it were all there, but he did not get near it, because his heart would have become polluted. Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily follow that you have to have pleasure. I mean, where does it come from? Fine. I agree with your argument that there is no takabbur. But why does it have to be that you have to have pleasure in order to get near to Allah?
To understand Allah. But what is the meaning of getting nearer to him, as I said?
If you say you are satisfied and you can see that I can have pleasure is something very hard to understand. Because pleasure is transitory, as you can see. You know, it's not something that is, you know, by definition, it doesn't all the time. Because you reach a point and you are satiated and then there's no more pleasure. Till you get to a certain, you know, it's like an ongoing
thing. But in Jannah, it's not like that. this is how we are told. It's not like that in general. And the type of thing which they eat and they drink makes them nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارِ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافِرًا عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. This is a fountain or spring from which Ibadullah would drink, and those very مُقَرَّبُونَ, and that would give them a boost and type of push towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. I mean, the type of things that they eat and drink there makes their body, okay, let's put it in this way. Your body needs to be prepared to receive things. It's not only your soul, your body also should be prepared. Our Prophet had different types of revelations, okay. One revelation was direct revelation without mediation of the angel, alright, without mediation of Jibreel. And this one was when this type of revelation came to him, he sweated, he felt very heavy, and he fainted. Okay? So, he couldn't have this type of revelation very frequently, because the body was not taking it. It was not prepared for it. Okay? In Jannah, your soul is prepared. Your body should be prepared as well, to receive those manifestations. Otherwise, as I said, you explode. It's not possible. So, you have to evolve and go through different phases in Jannah, bodily and mentally and spiritually. Okay, inshallah, we'll go and see. Okay, yes.
Just one thought, that the reason probably why we have the kabur here with pleasures is because there's a scarcity of resources, whereas probably in the hereafter there will be abundance. And therefore, there is no need to have the kabur.
Not really. Well, not necessarily. The point is, as I said, we are learning. Okay? In the process of learning, you have to be careful. Okay? Once you have learned, it's okay. I mean, now, I'm a very good man, inshallah. I see myself as a very good, this is a takabur, okay. I see myself as a very good man. But if Allah gives me £1 million tonight, I might not be able to take it, you see. I might become a different person. And I might resist, okay. So, since I don't know, I have to be very careful. I'm learning. Now, in Jannah, Allah is going to give to us everything. After we have learned. When you learn driving, well, no one would let you to, just for the first time, as you have heard, how to drive. Okay, we have heard, it's very bad to be deceived by this world and all these things. So we know all this, let's go and have pleasure of this world. No, it's not like that. It is very deceptive. Okay? You can't say, well, you told me how to drive. The clutch and accelerator and the brake and okay, let's go and drive. Well, you kill yourself. You cannot do that. After you have learned, then a car could be given to you. After you practice. This world, there is no insurance in this world that even a prophet can live as people live in Jannah. So they took heat completely. We are learning. When you have learned, inshallah, in Jannah, and then, of course, there is different. There you are the neighbor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's completely different. Now, suppose someone is very vicious, and he comes to a prophet, and says, pray for me to go to Jannah. And the prophet prays for it. Oh God, please make him one of the people of paradise. Would he go to paradise? Do you think just because of that prayer he would go to paradise? Yes.
For that prayer he might not become vicious.
So he should change here, isn't it?
Perhaps that prayer will help him change.
Help him change. I mean, without changing here, he cannot go there. So, what the prayer does, the prayer would actually make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have attention to that servant, to change him here, to teach him things here, so that he could learn and he go to paradise. Okay. Once the Prophet was building a house, a room for one of his wives. When we say house, of course, Prophet didn't have several houses. He had several rooms, hujurats. as it is mentioned in the Quran. And he was living alone. Someone came, a builder, and he said, "Oh, Prophet, why are you doing it yourself? Let me do it for you." And Prophet said, "No, I will do it." He said, "No, it's impossible. I will do it." And he did it. And in the evening, it was finished. And Prophet told him, "Okay, I have to give you something." He said, "No, I did it just for the sake of Allah. I don't want anything." He said, "No, I have to give you something." He said, "Okay, if you're going to give me something, I tell you what, pray for me to go to paradise." Well, for making a war, this is too much a weight, isn't it? "Pray for me to go to paradise." And Prophet, as it is mentioned in the hadith, Prophet told for a while, just put his head down and didn't say anything because he was very shy to say no to any person. And he didn't want to say to that person, "No, I don't pray." And if he prayed, how this man could have gone to paradise. And after a long while, Prophet said, "Okay, I will do that. But you have to help me." He said, "How?" He said, "With long prostrations. You do long prostrations, you lose your takabbur, and I will pray for you, that Allah would change you in this world, so that you become prepared to go." So, the sign of paradise is with us here. If someone has that look, that very special look, which Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam had, he could see each one of us is for paradise, each one of us is for hell. Why? Because the sign is with us, is in our heart. When the heart changes, we change direction towards paradise. When it changes towards that direction, we change direction towards hell. So, it is all with us. Now, if you want to doesn't want to go from paradise, to go away from paradise. Well, I said mutakabbir wouldn't go to paradise. How? Look at this verse. This is in Surah Araf. سأصرف عن آياتي الذين يتكبرون في الأرض بغير الحق وإن يروا كل آية لا يؤمنوا بها وإن يروا سبيل الرشد لا يتخذوه سبيلا وإن يروا سبيل الغي يتخذوه سبيلا ذلك بأنهم كذبوا بآياتنا وكانوا عنها غافلين. I will turn away from my communications or from my signs those who are unjustly proud in the earth. How they will become? If they see every sign, they will not believe in those signs. And if they see the way of rectitude, they do not take it for a way. And if they see the way of error, they take it for a way. This is because they rejected our signs and were heedless of them. Okay. So it's in this world that your heart turns. And if you are mutakabbir, you don't see the verses, the ayat of Allah, you don't believe in His verses, you don't see His signs. What do we mean by we don't see His signs? This is very interesting. I mean, yes.
It might not be that we don't see them because they're there, but we're not letting ourselves see them.
Yeah.
You have to take that step to let ourselves open our hearts.
It means our eyes see them, our hearts don't see them as a sign of God, isn't it? And this is because of takabbur. If you empty yourself from takabbur, you will see that everything is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, two physicians, for example, both of them, when they go and study the body of human beings, They see the same things, but one of them is amazed by the power of Allah, which is in work in our bodies. And one of them says, why, this is nature. He doesn't see anything at all. Because of takabbur and tawadu, of course.
So what's the other one you mentioned? Takabbur and?
Tawadu. Tawadu is the opposite of humbleness. Tawadu. This is humbleness. This is the opposite of takabbur. Yes.
That ayat to say unjustly crowned. Is there any pride that is allowed?
No. Every pride is unjust. That's actually a clarification of takabbur. يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Every takabbur on the earth is بغير الحق. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm mistaken, but I heard somebody tell me there are a few times when you're allowed to be able to have takabbur, and that's against the zalim, for example.
That's not takabbur, actually. That is a type of attitude that you take towards someone. That is a metaphorical language. For example, التَكَبُّرُ مَعَ الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ عِبَادَ. If someone is very متَكَبِّر, you shouldn't be humble in front of him, of course.
Yes.
You should act as they act, for the sake of Allah. Then that is again tawadu for Allah. It's takabbur for them, but it's tawadu for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? There is a very, very interesting thing I want to mention here. It's not very much related to our discussion. But I said, if someone has no takabbur at all, they see everything as a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is an ayah for Allah, isn't it? Everything is an ayah for Allah. But if you move a bit higher, if you go to the position of muqarrabun, of whom we'll talk later on, inshallah, you would see even something more in everything. In everything. Well, what is it in the Quran said about everything? وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. Everything is doing tasbih for Allah, purifying Allah. So, apart from everything being a sign of Allah, everything is a purifier of Allah. So to speak, a musabbih. And everything is a praiser of Allah, a hamid. So, an ayah, a musabbih, and a hamid. This is an ayah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if His existence was not there, this wouldn't have existed. It cannot exist by itself, can it? This is an ayah. We can't see. If we can't see, we are mutakabbar. Now, this very pen, at the same time, is doing tasbih to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. You wouldn't understand this tasbih. It is not, as some exegetists say, well, the very existence of it is a purification of Allah. The very existence of it is an ayah of Allah, not a musabbih. But there is a tasbih for this. You cannot hear. Of course, he doesn't do tasbih in our language. Certainly he doesn't. He doesn't understand our language. Well, I say he because now I'm talking about musabbih. Okay. Now, and he is doing hamd for Allah, not in our language. Now, once the Prophet took a few stones, a few gravels in his hand, I mean, someone said, what is the sign of your prophethood? He said, if I show you that these gravels are doing tasbih for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you believe in me? He said, yes. He took the gravels and they were doing tasbih in his hand, saying, subhanallah, subhanallah. Okay? Now, of course, they don't understand our language. How do they say subhanallah? Of course, this is a very, very difficult concept. Now Allah Tabatawai says, of course, the language, they didn't speak in our language. It was the soul of the Prophet which was translating what they were doing to our language. And they heard it from the stone. Of course, they are. Well, if the birds have a different language completely, these have complete different language. I tell you, I haven't seen anyone. Well, I have probably studied lots of tafsirs and other things. I haven't seen anyone understanding the verses of the Quran as Allama Tabatabai would have understood. It's amazing, amazing how this man had reached to the bottom of the ocean of knowledge which is in the Quran. And once Ayatollah Mutahhari was telling, I didn't really realize what he was saying. He was saying that whatever I have said, I have written, the root of it is in Al-Mizan. I've just taken it from there. It's what this man have understood, he has translated it for us. And if you go to Al-Mizan, it's an ocean. Now, as I was saying, this is a sun. And at the same time, it is a musabbih. And at the same time, it is a hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you don't understand. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُ الْمُتَسْمِيَةِ. But if you grow up to the degree of مُقَرَّبُونَ. Now, Ashabul Yameen, you see this as a sun. Ashabul Yar, Ashabul Yameen, inshallah, you see this as a sun. But if you grow to the degree of مُقَرَّبُونَ, you see it as a مُسَبِّح and as a comet. Now, you explain for me.
You need marriage, but to be able to reach that, you need fire, you need a lot of marriage.
Of course. مُقَرَّبُونَ are the people who have the knowledge at the peak of it, knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. Now, have you heard these stories that one day in the morning I went down in a school or something, I saw that person was praying, was praising Allah, and everything in around them were praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever heard of these stories? No. Well, amazing. Well, I just wanted to give an explanation of this now that you haven't heard it, so you can ignore it completely. Well, because there are lots of these stories which happens for people at some very crucial moments of their spiritual understanding. Okay, for example, they do tasbih and everything around them say the same thing, do tasbih. They say subhanallah, everything says subhanallah. Like Sulaiman, it's mentioned in the Quran, isn't it? Ya Jibal, awwibi ma'ahu. We told all mountains, when Sulaiman says subhanallah, all of them should say subhanallah. And they did. Ya Jibal, awwibi ma'ahu. All mountains sing with Sulaiman. This is a very nice type of putting it. Sing with Sulaiman, his song, when he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا سَخَّرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ. We gave the control of the mountains to him. يُصَبِّحْنَا بِالْعَشِيِّ وَالْإِشْرَاقِ. When he was doing...
That
is Dawood. Okay, yeah, Dawood, sorry. Of course, Sulaiman had also. This is about Dawood. يَا جِبَالَ أَوَّلْ مَعَهُ. And, of course, this one is about Dawood as well. إِنَّا سَخَّرْنَا الْجِبَالَ مَعَهُ. We had given the control of the mountains to him. Okay. يُصَبِّحْنَا بِالْعَشْرِ وَالْإِشْرَاقِ. When he was doing tasbih in the morning prayer, and night prayer, evening prayer, when he was doing prayer and tasbih, all the mountains were doing it with him. Of course, people around him didn't understand it. But he understood it. In his own language. I just wanted to mention, it was his soul which was translating that language, understanding it and translating it into his own language, and he heard the subhanallah from all the mountains and everything which was going around him. Yeah.
In order to praise Allah, you must have some knowledge. I mean, you must understand. How does something non-sentient understand? I mean, my tape recorder can praise Allah, but that doesn't mean anything. How does a stone have the knowledge to understand what it's praising? Otherwise it doesn't mean anything.
No, they praise according to their own capacities.
What capacity would a stone have?
We don't know. Now, don't say they don't have any capacity. We don't know. Quran says they have capacities. And they do praise. And the mountains praised with Suleiman, for example, with Dawood, for example. Okay? So, they have a capacity. The point is, we just see a very, very surface of everything. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They only know the surface from this life. Even from the physical things, even from the matter. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ. That is why they are so ignorant of the Akhirah, of things. The thing is, this is only a pen. It's not like that. There are lots of things to this, which we do not know. As for example, the silicon chips. Who did know that they are going to have these great capacities of accumulating information, for example? Okay. Now, this is only the physical things we have come to know about it. Now, there might be spiritual things in it as well. There might be things which are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how you, for example, say this aqeeq has some qualities which we don't know. Okay. Now, okay, let's move quickly. So, it is takabbur which turns you away from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الذين يجادلون في آيات الله بغير سلطان أتاهم كبر مقتا عند الله وعند الذين آمنوا كذلك يطبع الله على كل قلب متكبر جبار. Sorry. Those who dispute concerning the آيات, well, everywhere he has translated آيات as communications, while signs would be a better term, of Allah without any authority that He has given them. Greatly hated is it by Allah and by those who believe. Thus does Allah set a seal over the heart of every proud, haughty one, put a seal over the heart, if they are mutakabbar. Okay? If you are mutakabbar, your heart is sealed. And this is a sign that you are not going to Jannah. This is a sign that if you don't understand here, you don't understand there. مَنْ كَانَ فِي هَذِهِ أَعْمَى فَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ أَعْمَى. Anyone who is blind here is blind hereafter. And blindness is the blindness of heart, not the blindness of eyes. Okay? So, if you're blind here, you're blind there. Now, there's a difficulty here. Those of you who know Arabic, is this a right translation of this last sentence? كَذَلِكَ يَطْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ قَلْبِ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ. Now the translation says, thus does Allah set a seal over the heart of every proud, haughty one. Those of you who know Arabic, what's wrong with this translation?
Shouldn't it be every proud, haughty heart?
Every proud, haughty heart. So it should be. Yeah. But still there is something wrong here. Ala kulli qalb. Not ala kulli qalbin. Not
all hearts.
Over every heart. Over the whole heart of the mutakabbir and jabbar. Over the whole heart. And here of course is over the heart of every. So the kul is taken to be related to the persons rather than to the heart. While it's not correct. And most of the exegetes have made this mistake. But Allama Tabatabai, of course, because he had the right vision of this verse. It is the whole heart which is being sealed. Hmm? Sorry? This is in Surah Mu'min, verse 35, Surah number 40. Sorry, yes, I'm finishing. So I have to leave now. Inshallah, we'll continue with this next week. I think next week is our last week before Ashra Muharram, isn't it? And then we'll have to continue afterwards. So inshallah, we'll finish this topic of takabbur next week. And I'll bring you these handouts. so that during the time where we are not having lessons, inshallah, you have time to go over there. Okay, thank you very much.
Sorry, would you translate that last sentence in your own words?
In this way, Allah sees the whole heart of the arrogance, the haughty. The whole heart. Not the heart of everyone. The whole heart.
And not the whole arrogant, haughty heart.
No, it's not kull qalbin. It's kull qalbin. Okay. So, the way it's translated, it means كَذَلِكَ يَتْبَعُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُتَكَبِّرٍ جَبَّارٍ.